listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey guys, welcome to CarCast. Before we get started, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Geico. We go, everybody's got a to-do list. You're dropping off your dry cleaning, maybe picking up some milk. Now you can add save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. You don't have to drop off or pick up anything. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Check out geico.com. I also want to tell you guys a little bit about Dodge before we get started. Visit your local Dodge dealer for performance, technology, and great deals. There's never been a better time than now. Right now, Dodge is offering Power Dollars. With Power Dollars, you get $10 off for each horsepower of your new car. That's every Dodge Charger, every Durango, every 2019 Challenger. You get $10 off per horsepower. So you can get a 2019 Dodge SRT Hellcat Red Eye and receive almost $8,000 cash allowance. You get more power, and you get more off. It's that simple. Hurry to your local Dodge dealer today and take advantage of Dodge Power Dollars.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on mandate. Get it on and welcome to CarCast. I'm Adam Pearl. That's Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea.
Hello.
We are at SEMA. We're sitting in the MagnaFlow booth, and Ted Wu is with us. Good to see you again, Ted.
Hey, guys.
Vice President of Design of Hot Wheels. We just did the big unveil or the competition event. Pick out which car would be the next Hot Wheel. So we'll tell you about that in a second. We got guys like Leno, Richard Rawlings, Pete Brock were there. Lots of guys from that space, that world. For me, it's the second time I've seen Leno in like 72 hours.
So. I know. Yeah, but he wasn't wearing denim.
He wasn't wearing denim.
It was all denim.
He had denim jeans, but he was not wearing a denim upper shirt. So we were just outside in front of SEMA. I think they brought out, Ted, you tell me, there must have been 12, 16 cars out there. How many cars did they bring out?
Yeah, we had 20 cars, actually,
20
around
cars.
The world. Yeah.
Explain the legends to our kind of how it started, because we judged one of the local ones in El Segundo, California, but you guys went all around the world, basically, I don't know, putting on, inviting people to submit their cars. But these are very, like, explain the legends tour and the types of cars, because they're very hand-built.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So the legends tour started for us actually last year. It was our 50th anniversary for the brand. And it was a car show. We started to really find out which custom car out there was worthy enough to become a real Hot Wheels car, you know, a die-cast 164th scale car. And it was a phenomenal success last year, and we decided to do it again this year, and it's even bigger and better. So in 2019, we had over 90,000 attendees. Almost 5,000 different cars entered the contest. We had, like you said, 20 different cities around the globe, including Mexico and Germany, that participated. And the results were phenomenal. I mean, you guys saw the cars yesterday. They are insane.
Very creative, to say the least.
Very creative, yeah.
Yeah, they're varied. There's so much space between one car and another. You know, normally, if you're into the automotive world and you're into NASCAR, you see a lot of NASCARs, or you're into dragsters, you see a lot of dragsters, or you're into road racing, or, you know, the V8. Races in Australia, whatever. You see a lot of kind of the same cars. These, I don't think you could get more space in between some of these cars. There was a Renault on there that had the engine in the back. There's some crazy steampunk stuff. There's
The Land Cruiser with the BMW V12 engine in it.
So you have to really kind of describe a Toyota Land Cruiser, like 70s era.
Yeah.
Slammed down to the ground with a V12 from a BMW 850 or 750, V12 sort of half exposed, sticking out in the front, and PT Prowler Cruiser, whatever, rims on it, or from an Ariel Atom.
Yeah, like the front fenders were just sort of detached from the bodywork, like a Prowler, something like that.
It's really almost too much to ingest. Like, if you're trying to judge, you're just going, wait a minute, the engine's, you know, Chevy Love pickup truck with a big blown Mopar in the back, sitting on top of where the differential would have been if it was a front-engine Chevy Love truck from the 70s, yeah. right? And this guy's explaining to me about a Tornado transmission and drivetrain and stuff, and I'm trying to figure out how is he getting that blown Hemi, which is sitting directly on top of the rear axle. How's he getting that into those rear wheels?
Yeah, because the Tornado is a front-wheel drive car, so he just moved the whole thing to the back. But one of the things he did explain was part of the transfer case is chain-driven. So it just seems like a hell of a lot of power. Talk about a weak link in the system. I feel like that's definitely going to be it. But interesting stuff.
There was a crazy lowrider car with the most amazing paint job you've ever seen in your life. There was an Opel, which is fine, but it had an LS in the front. So I kept walking. I like a little more creativity than that. But just a crazy variety of cars. My favorite was a Vega, which I called a Decon Monza. I raced with Decon Monzas, and this was a Chevy Vega with a Decon Monza type body kit on it, except for it wasn't a body kit. The guy made all the fenders and all the flares and all the running boards and everything. He made it. All the aero, it was all out of sheet metal.
Yeah, all steel body. He did it all himself.
So, crazy innovation. It's amazing what people will do. And it's not like they have statistically a high chance of winning. It's like you're just doing it for the love of the game, right, Ted?
I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, I think when we started this whole tour, we didn't really know what we were going to get. And when we open it up, and especially this year, you see the passion of the builders. You see the passion of these people. They're real car enthusiasts. And I think we, as a Hot Wheels team, we feel like we're part of that, right? We're part of car culture and hopefully have inspired some of these builders to build what they build. But we love that passion. And I think this show is so unique because of the variety, right? Hot Wheels is all about variety, and I think this show really showcases that.
So once you pick the winner, and we saw this winner down at, we picked it in El Segundo, yep. So it made it here, and this was the Nash with the blown small block in it,
yeah.
And it's a crazy car. I think there's a song about a little Nash Rambler, but I never told you this, we had one of those cars for a little while when I was a kid.
Really?
And my
man, you were a baller.
My sister called it the weenie top car, but that thing's been chopped, and
yeah.
it's great. I think I speak for like a guys like Jay Leno, and I've always felt this way. When you're going to do a car, you could do a notchback 66 Mustang or an El Camino or even a Barracuda, but I kind of like the jumping off point to be a little off the beaten path, you know? And I think as the judges were looking at a lot of these cars, we were talking about the Nash, we were talking about the Renault. We're talking about some of these cars that just no hot rodder. The Ring brothers have never built a version of this car, right?
Right.
And there were some trucks that were crazy.
That International Harvester was nuts. Yeah.
So then once you pick a winner, what's the turnaround time? And then what's the process? Do you have to scan everything?
Yeah, we have a design team. We have a team of over 50 designers back at the back at home base. Best in class designers in the world. And we take the car. We take obviously a photo reference. We get we actually take the actual car. We study it, and we start to then do the work. Right. The thing about designing a Hot Wheels car is you can't just take a car and shrink it down 64 times. There's kind of it's a common belief, hey, that's a super easy thing to do. It's not. There's actually a lot of art into the science. And so we're gonna look at Greg's car, figure out kind of what makes it tick, and then how do we make that work at that small scale. And so we do that. We create a 3D render of it. We'll do some back and forth. Greg will get to see it a little bit. And then about a year later, we'll have it on the shelves.
So when you guys scale it down, you have to sort of rethink about some of the proportions of it, especially if there's a standout feature of the car. And
exactly.
And you guys will be able to see images of this car at Hot Wheels and, of course, CarCast Show. But, like, you know, you scale it down and the engine sticking out of the hood with the big dice on it, maybe that's an exaggerated feature in the toy, or maybe the wheels the outside stance, the body. Exactly. Maybe it's a little bit exaggerated.
Exactly.
And just to, because you got to think about it. Like, it's got to be, that's part of the judging process is we look at all the fabrication and the stuff that went into it. Be like, but when it's a toy, what do you want? Like, what are kids going to play with? Like, what so, do they want to collect? You know,
well, that's part of the challenge. I mean, you guys know as we're judging, you have to think about the car not only as a full size car, but how's it going to pop off on shelf when it's so small?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that is about the, you know, we were looking at three things, right? The first was Garage Spirit. Is it a built, not bought car? And for sure, the Nash was an example of that. The creativity, I mean, you can already see how unique that car is. We've seen nothing like it. And then the authenticity, right? How does this really look like a Hot Wheels car? Does it just look like a Hot Wheels car when you see it? And I think, you know, he ticked the boxes on all three of those criteria.
Practical question, Ted.
Yeah.
Greg's given up the car for a year. How's he going to commute to work? Okay? Because you've given up your car for a year.
Yeah.
You may work several miles from
you
where
guys,
you live.
Do you rent him a car?
Who's going to get
year,
the grocery?
Do,
who's going to go to work?
Like Uber, reimburse Uber? Or
you know, it's part of the deal. Although we are giving him a free car in 1/64 scale in a year, so I feel like he's getting an extra car at some point.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine this could be a daily driver. I'm trying to think of what car, out of all those cars, I could drive. I think I'd get back to my Vega. I think I might do I think that might be one I could drive on a daily basis.
It's a little racy. It's a little race car-ish.
Well, yeah, but you want to drive the steampunk flatbed like with a blown Hemi in the back? The guy that was really impressive, he had a VW Squareback at the station wagon. He had the thing lifted like a gasser, right?
Yeah.
And then under the hood, and it was all done up like you do up a 60s VW Squareback gasser, and then under the hood is two four-cylinder VW engines that have been mated, right?
Yeah.
Which is crazy. It was crazy looking, and then he fired it up, and it sounded like a big V8 with open headers. I mean, I don't know. I think these guys are like, I think a lot of them drop peyote and go to the desert and like talk to an Indian and then come back to their garage and make a car. I don't know what's the inspiration for this? How do you start with some of this stuff?
Everybody that we talked to over there had a different story, and some of them were just, I just went into my backyard and I saw the shell of a Renault. I don't know why it's there. Nobody knows, but it's there. And like, let's start with that. I think that Chevy Impala is the good everyday driver.
The low rider?
Yeah. Because first, you could lift it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, you know, for speed bumps and getting in and out of driveways and stuff like that. And it looked pretty comfortable in there.
The paint on that car was so exquisite that you'd be freaked out going to the Home Depot.
Oh, you wrap it.
Floating around.
You wrap it all in a clear paint protection film.
I was looking,
the whole car.
There was a weird thing where the car had water droplets as part of the paint pattern, and I was asking the guy who painted it, and I was like, how did you do that? And then he's like, I sprayed it with water. I just like let it dry and then it, like sprayed over it and then put clear coat over that. And then at a certain point I was looking at it and I thought, is that water or is that stucco? I couldn't figure it out. I thought, I wonder if this guy does stucco work, because I've done a lot of stucco work. But then I thought, no, I think that'd be an insult if I said that was stucco.
Yeah, interesting stucco, though.
It kind of looked like, anyway, it looked like the surface of the moon. It was the greatest. I mean, I don't know how long that paint job had to take, but it was a low rider with an insane paint job on it. And I'm just saying, I'd be freaked out about leaving that in the parking lot of the supermarket.
I wonder if the water trick has been done before, because that's pretty inventive.
It looked real. It was amazing. I mean, again, like, that's another example of just the variety of cars that we get. Like, the paint job on that car was like none we've ever seen before. So it was,
you know, because you see a million episodes of like overhauling of the day, and they always bring a Mike LaValle in to do the real flame. You know, he does the real flames, and then this guy here with his lowrider is like, I want real water. I want to do the real water version.
It was great. So where should people go? Should they go to our website? People are going to want to see pictures of all this stuff. I just feel
I believe HotWheels.com is the place to go for that.
So
all the Legends Tour information is all up there.
It's about a year. to turn a car around and get it into this Hot Wheel form or scale. And so we've done a few of these. I got to say, like, this is bigger than I would have anticipated. Like, I thought, well, how many adults are you going to get out to, like, come out and see everyone's crazy vision or whatever?
Yeah.
It was packed in El Segundo. It was packed yesterday. And I'm assuming it's just sort of onward and upward, right? But where do you expand from here?
Yeah, I mean, you guys have been kind of on the journey, too, because you've been through several stops. It's gotten bigger every time. I think as the word gets out, you know, builders are talking to builders and people are learning about this competition and this organic, you know, idea of just like, you know, wanting to be a Hot Wheels car is growing. So next year, for sure, we're expanding the tour. We're going to be actually in even more international cities and making more stops. So if you're out there and you've got to build, get ready because we want to see your car.
I'll tell you, you guys managed to do it in a real fun way. It's a fun event to go to, even if you go to one of the stops. And I believe you partnered with Walmart out here, and I guess maybe 18 of the 20 stops for Walmart. Is that right?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, technically 19, because actually in Mexico, that was also a Walmart.
That was at a Walmart, yeah, so, Mexican Walmart. Yeah, I didn't know they had that there. Yeah. So 19 of the 20 stops. So go to one of the events, and it is kind of fun. And you do see some of these cars up in person, and they're pretty wild and they're pretty creative. I'm wondering about like you're talking about the size and scale of this thing. You said you guys have a huge staff that are designing these cars. Hot Wheels is got to be the best selling toy in the world.
We are literally the number one selling toy in the world, the Hot Wheels car. We sell 16.4 cars a second, so a lot of cars. And again, I mean, it's,
are they all a dollar?
So we have cars that are a dollar. We have cars, you know, and we've been known for that. That's kind of our basic car. It's been a dollar for literally 51 years. We're super proud of that. But
do you know anything about inflation at all? I mean, I'm not sure who's. Maybe your CFO.
Yeah.
Matt just slipped me a note. He wanted to know how somebody sells 0.4 of a car. I don't want to embarrass you on the air, so yeah, I'll talk to you off the air about how that works when he said 16.4. Okay. It's like when they say like the average American family has 2.3 kids.
Yeah, I don't know where they get the 0.3.
Yeah, no, but it's okay. We'll talk off the air.
Okay.
Ted, you're an educated man. Just coach him up on how those statistics work. I don't want to embarrass you on the air.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm here to do. So, I'm sorry. I was busting Matt's chops and I lost my way.
Yeah. So, how many, you were saying, how many, well, 16.4 a second.
Yeah, but it's not, they don't break the car.
Yeah.
It's a whole car.
Okay.
It's hard. We'll talk off the air.
Right. What does it come out to? It's like a billion a year.
Yeah. No, we sell about 500 million cars a year. But like I was saying, you know, so we're known for that dollar car. The same time we have more premium level cars that are out there. And I think, you know, our fan base is aware of them. They're called our Car Culture Series. And that's where our design team, who's really in tune to obviously car culture and what's going on, puts in the cars that we think the adult collector will like. That's been doing really well for us as well. So,
do you have any more big time stunts planned? Several years ago, we saw our friend Tanner Faust along with another gentleman whose name escapes me, do the loop the loop and the jump and the big deal. There's been a few of those. I think Tanner's done a few big time jumps, big distance jumps. Is there something on the horizon or something we're thinking about?
Yeah, so I can't say a lot, but next month we have something planned. You know, hopefully that's going to be really exciting. And at the same time, we're looking for ways to get involved just from a lifestyle standpoint. So obviously this show is an example of that. We're actually involved with a junior action sports league with youth, so sponsoring a lot of extreme sports athletes, which is great. And in general, just trying to get out there in terms of really elevating the brand.
Where are the big markets for Hot Wheel? Is it Hot Wheels? Is it because, you know, if you do what I do, you write books, they're in English, you know what I mean? They don't really take off in China or Japan or other, you know, Asian markets or European markets or things of that nature. You got to kind of find the English speakers. But obviously, Hot Wheels big everywhere. What would be a market that we'd be surprised to hear about?
Man, you know, we're a pretty global brand. I mean, honestly, we're pretty much everywhere. You name it, and honestly, we're there.
Do you have different cars for different countries that do better?
We've talked about that, but to be honest, car culture, I mean, if you like cars, you like cars from everywhere. So we don't do specific cars for that market. We try to pay attention to cars that come from everywhere, obviously.
Yeah.
But we're not about sort of curating specific cars for specific regions.
I'm kind of inspired by this whole thing where everybody does their best. They bring the cars out. They present. We vote. And we move on. We get a winner. Not for cars, but I'm thinking about something like B. Adams' next trophy wife. You know what I mean? And we go to women all over the land.
Yeah.
Let's make it
20 stops around the
international
world.
International. You bring out your best.
Yeah.
Me and Leno and Richard Rawlings will pick. And we move on to the next at the end of the year.
Yeah.
I'm just kicking around ideas here, but I like the format is what I'm saying. All right. Should we bring the actual builder of the car that won? And I mean, the amount. Thanks for coming in, Ted. We do appreciate it.
Of course.
Hey, guys, let me tell you a little bit about our friends at Zorro. If you purchase supplies for a business, you know it's nearly impossible to find everything you need in one place. That's why there's Zorro.com, where their number one goal is to make your life easier. Zorro.com, it's Zorro.com. It's where you'll find everything you need for any business, any size of almost any industry. Zorro has tools and equipment, safety and office supplies, cleaning supplies, and more. And Zorro has tons of stuff for industries like electrical, plumbing, contracting, manufacturing, and more. You'll find brands that you know and trust, like Stanley, 3M, Milwaukee, Schneider, and Rubbermaid, just to name a few. And Zorro has amazing customer service for real people just like you and me based in the U.S. You'll also enjoy fast, free shipping on orders of $50 or more. Even if you don't have a business to shop for, you can still find lots of great items at Zorro.com. Visit Zorro.com/carcast. That's Zorro.com/carcast. Sign up for their Z-mail newsletter and get 15% off your first order.
Winner, the Nash Custom, built by best friends, Greg Salzine. Oh, wait, how am I saying that? And Dave Ford. Greg, say your last name for us, please.
So the name is Greg Salzillo.
Salzillo. Oh, okay, there we go. And Dave tied
one. Salzillo sounds like the name of one of the car builds out there.
Definitely. So Leno said something that was really important to Leno when he was addressing the crowd, which was, and people initially laughed, but Leno really meant it. Leno was like, yeah, this car was built $10,000. That means anybody could come in. And everyone started laughing, like even making a joke about your cheap car. And he was like, no, not kidding.
Stop laughing at me.
He meant it. Like he liked the idea that there was a sort of grassroots element to it and that you could do it or anyone potentially with enough creativity and moxie and intestinal fortitude could build one of these cars at a price you couldn't build a spec Miata for.
Absolutely. This is something that just my buddy and myself built, and we just wanted to, by nature, we're rat rodders. So we kind of are used to pulling parts from swap meets, garages, out of fields. So it's something that we were kind of comfortable with. And when we started the Nash, and when we kind of finished the Nash, and then we saw what Hot Wheels was kind of going for with this Legends Tour, kind of their check boxes as far as the, you know, garage spirit, creativity, uniqueness, we knew that we kind of nailed it. And we're proud to kind of show the rest of the world that it really doesn't take a lot of money. We are now in a position where we're at the world's largest trade show with Hot Wheels. We built something that's $10,000 or less, and we're going to be the next Hot Wheels. I mean, what an amazing opportunity this has been.
Some of the ideas and the details on that car, what's the process? How much of it is you guys think of something and go and look for it versus you guys just walking around a swap meet or finding parts and going, let's try to put this on the car someplace.
So it was a long process. The car Dave found. So it actually started here in Vegas, truthfully. There was a car show down here that we had to come to. In the rat rod world, there's a lot of creativity in the rat rod world. People are kind of pulling and making different things out of different pieces, really, really unique builds. We had seen a couple cars down here at a Vegas show, and we just decided, Dave and myself decided, that we wanted to kind of build something that would be up to par with them. So he came to me, found a car on Craigslist, which is the Nash. We went up, we purchased it up in Santa Rosa, California, out of a barn, literally a barn find. And we kind of sat on the car. We sat on the car for probably a good 6 months or so, brainstorming, thinking about, you know, what can we do with this car that's going to set us apart from everybody else. And we drew up renderings. We scoured the internet. We looked at Hot Wheels stuff. We wanted to see if there was something out there that had been done with the Nash, and we wanted to go a completely opposite direction of what we had seen done. So within that, we came up with our design of the Nash, basically. And as you get into a build, things kind of come to you. It just really becomes really natural and really easy. The dice on it. We, again, knew that we were building this for a car show down here in Vegas. We were coming home from a swap meet one day, and we were trying to figure out air cleaners. And I just looked at Dave, and I said, let's put some dice on it. And it literally was kind of that easy and that natural for us to just basically go through the process and build as we were kind of, you know, working through different things ultimately.
The top's chopped. How many inches?
It's chopped about 4 inches. We chopped the rear of it 4 inches, and then we laid the windshield back. So it's chopped, and then the whole windshield's been pulled back as well.
You know, the thing that strikes me as we get back to the theme of, you know, 10,000, so you can't buy a good idea, you know, and the name, the Nash Hole, the guys like saying it. So when we were, we didn't, so the rest of the cars,
Richard
back
Rawlings
there,
was chanting it like it was his job.
Right. So it's like, we're sitting back there and everyone's arguing over this, and you know, the Vega's the Vega. And then the other was like, that's the steampunk thing, that thing or whatever that thing was. And I realized, everyone keeps saying Nash Hole, and I realized, oh, there's a genius in naming the car. You give it a good name, and now we're back here talking about it. And the other cars were all kind of describing,
right?
And people are confused. They're like, wait, which, you're talking about the Opel or the Renault? And it's like, no, but everyone knew what the Nash Hole was. So the idea of dubbing it, like christening it, like a ship.
That name, that name was just fitting. Generally, you know, this isn't the first car we've built. We build cars, and they just kind of name themselves. And when we were doing the Nash, it was the night before we were supposed to go to Vegas, and the transmission started leaking on us out of the rear tail shaft. And I just told Dave, we had it up on the lift. We didn't have a tranny jack. I told Dave, just lower it down. I'm going to put this thing on my chest, and we're going to slide it out and throw a new tranny in it.
Yeah.
It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. And I had been so frustrated with this build because nothing was going the way we wanted. We were up against a deadline. So I got this transmission onto my chest, and I pinched my finger or something, and I was like, you little a-hole. But instead it came out Nash Hole, and everybody fought me on it. They said, no, you can't name the car this, you can't do that, you can't do this. And I was persistent about it. That car needed that name, and I knew it, the car knew it, and it's just stuck, and it's, yeah, our little Nash Hole now.
I've done that move too, the transmission removal. Use yourself as the transmission dolly.
If you're in the car world, I bet every one of us have probably done,
yeah,
something.
That's what the creeper is originally for. So you can slide yourself underneath,
exactly,
lower the transmission on your chest, have your buddy pull you out from underneath, and
right,
and roll a transmission off of you.
I do the construction version of that, which is the drywall on the ceiling with my head, using my head as a floor jack, you know, like holding it up while I'm trying to get a screw onto the Makita.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, come on, don't miss that joist.
I'm a, yeah, contractor, and I can say that I've done that once or twice in my life too.
You, well, get up on that A-frame ladder, your head works fine. Especially when guys like us, we don't really need our heads for other stuff.
No,
you know,
yeah, there's nothing up there anyway.
We love car auctions, and have attended many of them. We should probably get Ken Lingenfelter up here on this one, for because nobody attends them more than him. But what do you think Nash Hole pulls if you take it to Barrett Jackson Scottsdale No Reserve?
So just, I want to jump in real quick because the name's been getting thrown around. Richard Rawlings bought this car off of me.
Did he?
So
He should have took it to the Barrett Jackson. He would have paid.
The car,
I would have upbid it for you.
We took the car to a little local car show during a car week in Monterey, California. It was the Concourse, and we were at the PG Little Car Show. and I had had the Nash kind of on the outskirts. They didn't want the car in there because it didn't really fit their criteria, and I just kind of muscled my way in and parked it somewhat in there, but on the outskirts. And the next thing I know, a bunch of people are running up to me saying that Richard Rawlings is coming and he wants to see your car, and I'm like, oh, okay, you know, here it is. And next thing I know, Richard walks up, and it's, since the day we built it, it's had a little for sale sign in the glass. And Richard came up and he's like, are you serious? And I said, yeah, are you serious? And he threw a number out. It was kind of something that I had had set in my head, and we agreed to it. And unfortunately, due to production and timing and a bunch of other things, it just didn't work out. But they did buy the car. There's a bill of sale to Gas Monkey Garage. I ended up having to buy the car back from them. So I've got a bill of sale to them, a bill of sale from them. And, you know, I'm glad that now I have the car because it's a Hot Wheels now.
Yeah.
Did he make any money off you?
I'm going to say that I made a little money off him, actually.
Woo!
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. Well, now you got a trophy to go with it, and you're going to have a toy to go with it. So obviously you can't go to Barrett-Jackson this year because there's no toy made. It's going to take a while.
I don't think my children will let me sell this car. This car just means too much to the family at this point.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you already blew 10 grand on it. So
I think it's probably paid for itself by this point.
Speaking of blown... That engine, where the hell did that thing come from?
The back of the shop. Nothing special. Again, we're rat rotters. We've just got barn full of parts. Dave and myself, we both have small shops. They're really just garages. And we go places, we find stuff, and we just kind of stock up on parts. So this was a 305 out of an old Corvette that we found. So we kind of took that. It had a good little, you know, cam in it, good roller timing chain. We basically took it, pulled it out of the back of the shop, put a tunnel ram on it, a couple carbs that we had laying on the shelf, and just made it. It is literally a budget build that just kind of happened and worked out and is pretty dang awesome.
You got to be frugal with it for sure. Like, we were talking about the Land Cruiser, and we talked to that guy with the BMW 750, and we're like, it seems kind of complex. What do you do? He goes, oh, you just buy a smash 750 for $3,000. It comes with the motor. And I was like, yeah, that's a good, pretty good point. He's like, yeah, the rest of the car, we just throw in the garbage or recycle or do whatever, sell it off for parts. You could probably part it out for more than $3,000, but you buy the whole thing for...
That's garage spirit that Hot Wheels wants, is you just get into it and you just use what you have in front of you. You don't have to be the best of the best. You literally can go to a junkyard, a swap meet, and just pull stuff in and just make it happen. And that's, again, kind of what Hot Wheels really wanted. And, you know, I think they saw that in the natural.
But now you got some adrenaline pumping through you from this win. Do you go back and build another car for the next Legends Tour? And
so I don't even know if I should be saying this, but we've got a second build here this year. This was a kind of a dream of mine. I wanted to build to basically inspire my children. I've got a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old, and I was brought up around cars. I was brought up playing with Hot Wheels. It was something that I was very passionate about as a child. I wanted to kind of come into SEMA because, again, this is the world's largest automotive trade show. I figured if I could bring something to this show built out of a garage, that I could inspire not only my children, but maybe other children and other builders around the world to just get out there, be creative, and have fun. So it's been a wild, wild year. I have to thank my wife, my family, for letting me kind of do what I've been able to do. But I did bring a second build this year, and I will say that it's by no means a budget build. It's over the top. Some of the Hot Wheels people have seen it. It's definitely got the garage spirit. It's definitely got the creativity. But it's a wild one. And fortunately, we are in the runnings with this one now. It's in the Battle of Builders. It's made the top 40. We're going up for an engine award right now. We've made top 12 for engines of SEMA. So this has been a really, really, really wild and emotional week, and I can't thank, you know, the Hot Wheels crew, SEMA, everybody involved for kind of giving these garage builders this opportunity.
What's the car? Tell us about it. Where is it located here so we can see it?
And, it's actually kind of right across from Hot Wheels Legends, fittingly. When I was able to kind of choose the spot, I wanted both of them conveniently kind of next to each other. I wanted Hot Wheels to be able to see, you know, that, hey, we're kind of serious about what we do. So it's kind of right across diagonal from where the Hot Wheels Legends booth is. The truck is a 1933 Dodge. Steve Darnell and the Welder Up crew from Vegas Rat Rods, he actually pulled this cab out of Montana. He pulled it out of Montana. I bought it from him, and I sat on the cab for probably about 2 years, basically. Kind of like the Nash, where I was trying to figure out what it was that I was going to do. In my building, I want to be just completely different than everybody else. I want to show people how this mind works. It's just wild, creative ideas that I come up with. So it's got a full tubular chassis. It's a trussed tubular chassis. It's cantilever front suspension, cantilever underslung rear suspension. So the axle mm-hmm. sits on top of the chassis, and the chassis lifts and lowers on air ride. And from there, it's just got an original 1954 331 blown Hemi in it. It is a nasty but gorgeous and sexy little truck out there.
Yeah. What did you name it?
It hasn't been named yet. It hasn't spoke to me.
Yeah, once you smash a finger or stub a toe, you'll figure it out.
Oh, I think you go, we've got Nash Hole.
Yeah, Nash Hole.
You go truck off.
Truck off.
That might work. That might be fitting.
Super passive aggressive names. Everyone else is naming them after their wife or their girlfriend. Right? You're telling everyone to hit the bricks.
Right. My mom kind of helped me through this, and I had asked her, you know, what do you think? And she kind of called it the paramour, and I guess kind of one of the meanings for it was like, you know, a second lover, basically. And it actually is kind of fitting because...
That's not on brand. I need something aggressive
Because I was pulled away from the wife and family for so long. So it definitely was kind of that second love of mine. So it's there, but it hasn't stuck. It hasn't been named yet. Maybe Truck Off fits. I don't know.
Yeah, that's more... It's again, your brand now. Look, yeah. I know show business, all right? I don't do rat rods, but I understand show business, you know? I got Kimmel where he is today. That was me. That wasn't him, okay?
All right, well,
I can
do the
same for you, but you got to let me do my work.
I'm on board.
Let me tell you guys a little bit about our friends at Dodge. We love our friends at Dodge. Visit your local Dodge dealer for performance, technology, and great deals. Never been a better time than right now. Dodge is offering their Power Dollars. With Power Dollars, you get $10 off for each horsepower of your new car. That's every 2019 Dodge Charger, every 2019 Dodge Durango, every 2019 Challenger. That means if you go buy a 2019 Dodge SRT Hellcat Red Eye, you'll receive an almost $8,000 cash allowance. So get more power and get more off. It's that simple. Hurry to your local Dodge dealer today and take advantage of Dodge Power Dollars.
So you already got your next build. That is, I want to point... I'm so discombobulated over where this place is so big. It's so sprawling. I literally feel like I'm in the devil's triangle. My compass is spinning around and my plane's going down. I don't know where to go. I like that thing that happened at John Jr. where like he didn't know how to fly on the instruments. And next thing you know, the horizon and it's black and you're over the ocean. You don't know that you're inverted. I don't even know where I am, but point at the direction of your truck. Cause I'm going to go, find it before.
Hey, straight out this
Hot
way.
Hot Wheels south that
Hot
way.
Wheels straight
and we're
out
just
that way.
Side of it. We could pull some pictures up for you too if you want to. Just see it.
Do some of that.
There's a picture here.
Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And your kind of signature is the wheels on the outside in the rear, which is something you just don't.
We heard you hate fenders.
Again, we're rat rodders. Dave and I have. You know, Dave pulled me into this kind of rat rod world. I'd seen stuff that David built years ago, and he really kind of was an inspiration in the rat rod world. And it was something that I just liked the styling of. And from there, I've kind of taken and seen what he's done, and then I kind of threw my twist on things. And with this one in particular, it's just about being different and creative and unique. So I ran these Weld Racing, they're drag wheels, and I decided that I wanted to put them on the rear of the vehicle, which nobody in the world has ever done, and then I wrapped them with a bias ply tire. So it's kind of traditional to that period, but with a modern twist, basically. I don't even know where I come up with this stuff half the time. It's like midnights, mornings, just wide awake. My wife will slap me and, you know, say, hey, go to bed. But that mind is just constantly kind of turning and thinking about, what else can I do? What can I do next to make this thing even better? And that's kind of
we're looking at the crazy cantilever suspension now in the front. All right. So like I was looking at the Nashall. Your mom wanted Paramour.
Yeah.
What about Mother Trucker? That way your mom's kind of in there and it's still on brand. Again, I'm a star maker.
You just keep throwing them out. Something will stick at some point.
So, putting the wheels on the outside of the Nash, that seemed to be the ticket to success. Like, that was the thing that kind of sucked everybody in and made them go, oh, this is way outside the box. And I couldn't tell if the Nash fenders were highly modified or even there at all, or how that worked. But how did that little piece hit you of putting the wheels outside the Nash?
So originally, these cars looked like little clown cars. The wheels, for the most part, were entirely covered up. I wanted to just take this, you know, kind of ugly duckling of a car and make it just something mean and aggressive and kind of cool. I had had the idea. I'm going to take the credit. Dave might not be happy about it. He wanted to kind of do a lead sled version. And Nashville, I'm going to, again, take the credit. I wanted to kind of get it out there because it was that rat rod feel to me. We both kind of drew up a rendering. We took them to a couple of party, basically, and let our friends kind of decide which version we were going to go. But I just thought the stance, that stance, I just saw it in my head. I saw that vision of the stance. I wasn't sure how to achieve it, and luckily I've got Dave behind me to kind of help point us in that direction and kind of get us there. But I knew what stance I saw. I knew what stance I wanted, and that's kind of what we went after. How we achieved it was we basically cut the wheel wells out, the existing wheel wells out, opened them up to kind of frame out that tire, basically, because turning is going to be an issue in the front end. Mm-hmm. We didn't want it sticking out so far that it was ugly and hideous, so we wanted to keep it nice and tight, and that fought us for a while to kind of get that radius around the tire and have no rubbing issues and stuff like that. How we achieved it was we took like a 40s Ford straight axle, a tubular straight axle, and we just cut it right in half and lengthened it about 8 inches so that we can get those wheels outside of the wheel wells, basically. And then we didn't just cut the wheel wells. We actually finished them off. So if you feel in there, it's got a nice kind of like factory feel of an actual lip, basically. It's not just cut sheet metal. So nothing special, nothing fancy, but we try to kind of think outside of the box and go maybe the extra mile and, you know, put somewhat of a decent finishing touch on the product, basically.
A question for both of you guys. Have you had a chance to walk around, or is there anything here that's influencing you for your next build or even a next Hot Wheels toy? It could be something from the parts or the other vehicles that are out
here. Could be something from the bar.
Could be something from the bar.
Yeah. I've made a lot of decisions.
I think it's that peyote that you were talking about.
Yeah. I think the bar influenced the Nash Hall, so that's for sure.
No, you know, for us, this is SEMA in itself is just an inspiration. You walk around, and to be out here with these people, some of the names, you know, some of the big names in the industry, but not just that, some of the everyday average builders, that we're not the only ones. There's a lot of us out here. So to just walk around and see different things, there's always an idea that you can pick and pull from. And we blend a lot of that into our builds. We don't want to by any means copy anybody, but they could definitely influence us and maybe point us in a direction that we could pull into one of our builds and kind of integrate something kind of, you know, cool and, you know, maybe a little different twist to what they kind of originally had going.
Ted, you see anything out there you like?
Yeah, you know, I haven't had a chance to walk through just because we've been
busy
so
the whole
busy.
Time.
Yeah,
I'll answer that question for you. There's an E30 BMW that's behind us. I love the E30 M3 BMWs, and I never really see them breathed on like this one is. And it's a pretty interesting piece.
It's back there.
Literally,
I think Maguire.
Directly behind us. Cool piece.
So we actually have, we're partnering with Eibach. We have a BMW 2002 that is.
Oh, I love those too.
Yeah.
Where's the predecessor?
It's over in the Eibach booth. So we're going to take a look at that this afternoon. I haven't seen it in person yet, but it's going to be amazing.
I think the moral.
Oh, I did see it.
Did you? Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did see it.
The moral. Well, say you liked it, idiot. Yeah. No, people are going to think you don't like it.
It was terrible.
My platform is I like the platform. I like a Nash or a Renault or something, a 2002 BMW, something you don't see people build that often. The Camaros and the Mustangs are fine, but I want something that starts off in a more interesting place, and then you can even take it to a further place, right? Because I just don't think whatever you did to that Nash, you just couldn't have done that with a Mustang, because you just couldn't get that. You already started in a very interesting place with that Nash, and then you just kept going.
I think Dave, myself, and Hot Wheels are onto something. I think we made Nash cool. I honestly think that, you know, we got something that maybe
the
they want to pick
cool?
up on.
What happened? Before we wrap things up, we've been talking so much about the Legends Tour, but there is another program that you guys do with the monster trucks. Could you quickly tell us about that?
Yeah. So we're super excited. This year we have a live show with Hot Wheels monster trucks. We have a line of toys that are monster trucks, but we have a live show as well. We have real monster trucks in an arena doing amazing stunts and tricks, and it's really a great sight to see in person.
But it's a series that you guys put together that's a little bit more inviting for a younger crowd. It's meant for kids to go there, so it's not, I mean, certainly one of the things with monster trucks is they're so incredibly loud, right? So this is sort of a version of a monster truck series that's even more family-oriented than what we've seen out there.
Totally. It's designed, for enthusiasts of all ages, but especially for the kids who want to get close. It's an arena show, so it's more intimate. You can see the trucks up close before the show. We actually invite all the kids to go meet the drivers, check out the trucks in person, and see things up close and really kind of feed that love of cars and trucks that we like to do.
Yeah.
You can go to the website, hotwheels.com, and see where the tour's going and see the pictures of National Truckin' A. I don't know. We'll talk after the pod. I got some ideas. Again, on brand. Not stuff to do with the old girlfriend or the mom.
We'll talk after the show.
Ted Wu, thank you very much for joining us today. Greg Salzillo. Am I saying that right? Salzillo.
You got it.
And Dave Ford, who's just staggering out of Olympic Gardens right now. So he's not able to make it here. But, hey, celebrate the way you celebrate. I don't judge. He's here.
No, thank you, guys. And thank you, Hot Wheels. I just want to, give them a big shout out. They have they've made some dreams come true, not just for me, but probably my children and kids kind of all over the place. And for future builders, I just recommend go out there. Have fun. Be creative. That's what they're looking for. Think outside of the box and just, be unique for yourself. Thank you guys for this opportunity, truthfully.
Thank you, Greg, and thank you, Ted, and thank you, Dave. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Matt, the Motorator, DeAndrea saying, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.